Good morning, everybody. Good morning to those of you guys who are watching online. It's great to have you online as well. Today is a very special day as we celebrate our Savior's ascension, that he sits at the right hand of God and he rules all things for the good of the church. And his journey on earth was coming to an end. And as his journey on earth came to an end, he gave new meaning to the apostles' journey and also ours. So we're going to read Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53, the end of Jesus' ministry and his ascension into heaven. I'd invite you to turn there with me. So Luke chapter 24 begins at the empty tomb, and then Jesus appears to the two men on the way to Emmaus. They run back, tell the apostles in the upper room, hey, Jesus is alive. So they say, yeah, he's appeared to Peter too. And then suddenly Jesus appears in their midst, you know, shows them his hands and his feet, touch me and see that I'm not a ghost, I'm really alive. And then he has this conversation with them. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So, last week, I spent 5 hours mowing lawn. So I want to talk to you about mowing lawn today because it's very much on my mind. Now, I wish that I could say that my lawnmower looked like this. You know, this was the lead article last Sunday in the Journal Sentinel, racing lawnmowers. That sounds like fun. But no, I spent 5 hours pushing a lawnmower or riding a lawnmower like this. Now, I could talk to you about the what of mowing lawn, you know, how tall the grass should be, right? I could talk to you about the how of mowing lawn. You know that when I do use my push mower, I like to go east to west, and then the next time, north to south, and then it gets really crazy. I go diagonally. Yeah. Or I could tell you about how my son had let his grass kind of get away from him, and so I was using his riding lawnmower and cutting about a swath, a third of the swath, just trying to cut it, you know. But I really don't want to talk to you about the what and the how of mowing lawn. I'd really like to talk to you about the why. Now, I should give credit here. This is an outline from Simon Sinek. He has a TED Talk called Start With The Why. And I heard Simon Sinek at the Global Leadership Summit, which we will be hosting in this room August 8th and 9th. This is my paid advertisement. Yes, it is. No. I mention it just because I've seen Simon Sinek, I've seen lots of world-class leaders, and I just believe that God's church needs great leaders. God's church here at the Bridge, but God's church in your family churches need great leaders. This has changed the way I think about my leadership, and so I would encourage you, sign up for it. So that's my advertisement. So back to this whole idea of the why. Why did I spend 5 hours mowing lawn last weekend? It's not about getting grass short. Why did I mow lawn for 5 hours? Because I love my wife. I don't want her to have to come home and see grass this tall and be embarrassed. Why did I spend 5 hours mowing lawn? Because I love my son. When I saw how long his grass was, I thought, that's something that I can do to help out. Why did I spend 5 hours mowing lawn? Because I love my neighbors. I don't want them to have to look at a shabby lawn and bring their property values down. I care about them. You see, ultimately, why did I spend 5 hours mowing lawn? Because I love my Savior. And it was part of my call to be His witness. When Simon Sinek talks about start with the why, he explains that we tend to start with the what and the how, but it's the why that inspires people. In business, it will inspire your workers or your customers. And it's true here in the church too. I'll talk about the what and the how, but what will inspire us, I pray, is the why. Jesus started with the why in our lesson for today. You see, the disciples thought they had understood the why of their life, the meaning of their life, because they were following Jesus and they went, great, I know what's going to happen. We're just going to keep following Jesus, and then pretty soon He's going to establish His kingdom and we're going to sit on thrones with Him and it will be heaven here on earth. And then Jesus dies, and all that why is just blown up. And then there's this report that He's alive, and they have doubts about it. They haven't seen Him themselves. And then He appears. And what does He do? He begins by explaining the why about His life. He takes them back to the empty tomb. This is what He said. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ or the Messiah must or will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. I told you this, but you didn't get it. My why, my purpose in life, my meaning has remained the same all the way through my life. I came into this world expressly to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, the prophecies that began when evil came into the world. I have come as God's answer to evil, evil in the world, evil in your hearts. I have come to crush Satan's head, and I did that by dying on the cross, just as God had foretold, and now rising from the dead, victorious over death itself. This was my purpose, guys. And lights start to go on. Their hearts are opened and they understand the scriptures. And then Jesus gives them their why. What is your purpose here on earth? He says, you guys who have gone out to the empty tomb, remember that's how this Easter series started. We took this journey out to the empty tomb and we saw, yes, Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty, and that changes us. So Jesus says to the apostles, He says to us, you who have seen this, you are to be my witnesses. That's the why in our lives. That's why I mow my lawn, because I am to be His witness. You know, our church's mission statement is this: by every possible means, we bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. And we say by every possible means, we think first of all of the church, you know, that We started the bridge as another worship language because we said we want to do everything that we can to reach more people for Christ. We started the online broadcasting because by every possible means, we want to reach you for Christ no matter where you are in the world. We started the parental choice program in our school so that we could use that as another way to bring more children and more families into our congregation. We started Victory of the Lamb in Franklin about a decade ago because by every possible means, and that's why we're praying, where can we do the bridge? What community can we go into with the bridge and reach more people for Christ with this worship language? By every possible means. But it's not just what we do as a corporate church, it's about what we do as individuals, by every possible means. Mowing lawn, yes. It's not just about getting grass short. It's about thinking, how can I live my life in a way that makes my life attractive to the people around me so that they're attracted to the Savior who has changed my life? By every possible means. So when you're at work, talking at work, by every possible means, at work, you are a witness. In your home, you are a witness. That is our purpose, the meaning of our life. You and I have gone out to that tomb. We've seen it empty. It has changed us. We know that he died and he rose again, and we are forgiven, and we're going to live forever, and we have a purpose by every possible means. That's the why. Now, on the worship on the message outline, I have on my next steps, I suggest memorizing three Bible verses. And one of them is this one. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To me, it is just one of those passages that helps us understand. This is the same chapter, by the way, that was up on the screens when we were singing the last song. That we're Christ's ambassadors. Why are we Christ's ambassadors? Because it's not our life anymore. We're his witnesses. We live for him. Let's read this passage together. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. It's not our lives. It's Christ's. And he has one purpose. Be my witness. What changed you, let the people around you know that the tomb is empty. Invite them to go out on that journey that can change their lives too. So that's the why. That to me inspires me. It makes everything that I do of infinite value. But Simon Sinek also talked about the how, and Jesus did too. He said, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, first of all, that phrase, all nations, that can be pretty intimidating. But I would encourage you to think of it more as freeing. All nations. Every person you and I interact with is part of this all nations. So we never have to wonder, is this person part of God's plan? This was somebody that Jesus died for. That's why in our mission statement, we have that phrase, every person within our area of influence. Some people will have a lot of influence over. They'll be friends or family members. And we want to live in a way that witnesses to Christ. Some people will have very little influence over. The clerk at the store. But that too, every interaction that I have, I'm to be Jesus' witness. I'm to live and act in a way that makes the Savior attractive. Now, I'll be honest, who is up to that kind of task? And that's why part of the how is also the promise, it's not up to you. Jesus made this promise. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And we know that's the Holy Spirit that he poured out on Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. This promise was fulfilled on Pentecost. The disciples were changed men as they received that Holy Spirit. They had courage. They were given the words to speak. Wow! But that promise is being fulfilled among us yet to this day. Jesus continues to pour out his Holy Spirit through use of his word and sacraments. And when we remember that, that takes the pressure off. That it's the Holy Spirit who is going to work through us and make our Savior known. I'd like to illustrate that by coffee. You know, sometimes people give me a hard time because I always carry coffee with me. You know, can anybody see how much coffee is in this cup? Anybody? Nope. But you know what? If I keep pouring enough coffee into that coffee cup, pretty soon it becomes visible to everybody, right? You see, this is why we're here to worship. We're here to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll just pour out all over us. It'll be evident to everybody. Now, maybe as I say that, there's somebody that comes to mind for you right now that is that kind of person. That, you know, the courage that they have as they face life's challenges, the joy that they have, the hope. You see it and you're just amazed. It's not something that they made up. They are using God's word and baptism and the Lord's Supper and remembering those promises, and the Holy Spirit is filling them to overflowing so that you see the power of the Holy Spirit in them as well. The pressure is off. All we need to do is just keep letting the ascended Lord pour the Holy Spirit into us, and he'll change us, and people will see it. Which leads to the what. The what is this: to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we make this very hard. I think of one of my coworkers when I was working the summer before I went to the seminary. He was called the preacher by everybody. And I got to work with him a lot because everybody went, "You're going to the seminary, you can put up with him." You can well imagine why he was called the preacher. You see, he had gone out to that empty tomb. He'd gone on that journey that changed his life. He had seen that Jesus really is his Savior who died and rose victorious from the grave, and that all of it's true, and he was a changed man. But he thought, okay, I'm to be Jesus' witness, so I have to force Jesus into every conversation. You've ever dealt with somebody like that? You kind of go, let's take the pressure off. Let's take the pressure off and just go, you know what? It's not about forcing Jesus into every conversation. It's about letting the Holy Spirit fill us so that he flows over from us to the people around us. So that what the Apostle Peter talks about happens in our lives too. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 3 said, "Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." pressure's off. You don't have to force Jesus into every conversation. Just let the Holy Spirit pour out over you. And people will see it. And they'll ask. And you go, oh no, they're going to ask me and I won't have the answers. I'm supposed to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins and I don't know how. Can anybody recite John 3:16? Let's all try it. For God so... I'm a poor director, but you guys did great. I put it up on the screen here just in case somebody didn't know it. You guys did great. You know, preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins is not some, oh, what do I have to know? You know this, you know it all, right? God loved me, a sinner, I've blown it, and he loved me. God loves you because you're part of the world. He loved you so much that he gave his son for you. He died, he rose again. Just trust in him. There's nothing you have to do. Just trust in him that he is your Savior. And when you know that, it changes everything for you. That's it. Pressure's off. You see, sometimes we focus so much on the what that I think it takes all the joy out of our witnessing. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Just keep coming here. Keep opening up God's Word. Let the Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing. And you'll have the opportunity to be His witness, not just in your actions, but also in your words. So Jesus closes this, or Luke closes the account of Jesus' ministry with these words. When he had led them out to Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. You have a purpose in life. That in everything that you do, every interaction, that you're a witness, that you are saying by your actions, by your words, I've gone out to that tomb, I've seen it's empty and it's changed everything for me, and I'd invite you to go along with me. We come here just to be blessed with that promise again. And I would encourage you, let's think about this whole witnessing thing with less pressure. You know, I feel so much pressure. You know, that the future of the church, the future of my family church depends on me. No. It depends on the Lord who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Lord who blessed the apostles, the Lord who blesses you. And so we just get together and we just have fun praising God. And we can have the same confidence that the apostles had. You know, the apostles, they went back to Jerusalem and they waited until the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And then they waited some more because God didn't immediately send them out to the four corners of the world, but eventually he did. You know, the ascended Lord got them to the places where he wanted them to witness according to his time frame. Don't you think that the ascended Lord can do that for us too? So the pressure's off. Because we have a meaning, a purpose. We're to be his witnesses. We have the how, the Holy Spirit's working in us, and he's given us the great mission field. We have the what. We know what to say. So, I think that means it's one to get ready.
It'd be more like three to get ready.
Oh, one to...
One for the money.
One for the money.
Is it what we're going to lose? Is that what makes us afraid? Is it two for the show.
Okay.
So, man, I respect just, you know, well, I'm going to look like an idiot. But if that's where we're at, then you take the three to get you ready, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But because God has put the joy before us to share the message, he says, you and I are number four.
We're four to go.
We're four to go.
God bless.
Amen.